Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as the House mounts an impeachment inquiry into President Trump.
Risk premium on politics and geopolitics is elevating.
Equities in Europe and Asia decline after the S&P 500's biggest loss in a month.
House Minority Leader McCarthy says Democrats have a vendetta against Trump.
They have been investigating this president before he even got elected.
I'm Michael Barr. More on the impeachment inquiry ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Extra innings for the Mets and Yankees. Mets came from behind, beat the Marlins in 11 in 12. The Yanks lost to Tampa Bay.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Margin loans start at 3.62% and decrease for larger loan values. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
It's 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7 points, Dow futures down 44, NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%, CAC in Paris down 1.5%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.64%, yield on the 2-year 1.60%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 67 cents at $56.62 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%. Or $2.40 at $15.37.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0999 against the dollar, yen 107.31. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with political risks mounting for the White House as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi endorses an impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Here with the very latest is Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
Citing serious violations of the Constitution and the president's oath of office, Pelosi says Trump's conduct cannot be allowed to stand.
The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
The House Speaker said six separate committees will report to her on their findings under the umbrella of a formal impeachment inquiry. Trump told reporters it's been the single focus of Democrats.
Look, it's just a continuation of the witch hunt.
He added on Twitter, can you believe this? And in all capital letters, presidential harassment. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. It's an escalation of a long confrontation between the House and President Trump, though it's not clear how much a formal inquiry will change the direction of existing investigations. Anna Edgerton has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
There were six House committees that were already investigating the president, his business associates, his personal finances, his tax returns, the Mueller report. Those six committees will continue their work, but it will be under the umbrella of formal impeachment proceedings. You can't just declare formal impeachment proceedings without any kind of House action. So what we'll be looking for when Congress returns from a two-week break that's scheduled to begin next week is whether or not they're actually going to have a vote on the House floor on these articles of impeachment.
Without that vote, this action from Speaker Pelosi won't necessarily lead to charges against the president.
The S&P 500 suffered its biggest decline in a month after word of the impeachment inquiry. Goldman Sachs President John Waldron spoke exclusively to Bloomberg following the news.
Risk premium on politics and geopolitics is elevating. And I think for a long time, post the financial crisis, we actually had a pretty modest amount of risk premium in the marketplace around, let's just say, the broad category of geopolitics. That's starting to change.
President Trump holds a press conference today at 4 p.m. Wall Street time. We will bring it to you live right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Speaking of geopolitical risk, we have another incremental move in the U.S.-China trade war. Sources say Chinese companies are preparing to buy significantly more American pork. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The firms are looking into prices from exporters like Smithfield and Tyson Foods. The volume not set yet, but could be around 100,000 tons, some of that for state reserves. Now, the purchase comes shortly after President Trump criticized Chinese trade practice in his speech at the U.N. So these imports might be a way to ease tensions with Washington. But China also badly needs added pork supply as its hogs have been decimated by swine fever. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Those reduced trade tensions did little for stocks in Asia today, with equities in the region adding to losses on Wall Street. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 fell 0.4%, while JGB futures climbed after comments from BOJ Governor Kuroda added to speculation of an interest rate cut in October. In China, the CSI 300 fell 0.8%, as the nation's beige book showed China's economy was the weakest so far this year in the third quarter. The MSCI Hong Kong index posted its seventh decline in 8 days and has almost erased the 5.4% surge the index saw earlier this month when the government announced the formal withdrawal of the extradition bill. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. And the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson could address Parliament as soon as today after suffering an unprecedented legal defeat from Britain's highest court. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London.
The Prime Minister is landing back in a country in the throes of a Brexit problem that has turned into a constitutional crisis. He maintains he'll continue to negotiate for the EU for a divorce deal, but there were few signs when he met other European leaders in New York that there were any new ways of breaking the deadlock. And under current UK law, he is obliged to ask for a further extension of the delay in leaving until he can find a deal, something he has vowed he will not do. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Coming up today, the Bloomberg Global Business Forum convenes in New York, bringing leaders together to combat threats from global warming to economic prosperity. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The event kicks off with a conversation between India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Michael Bloomberg, the founder of Bloomberg LP and Bloomberg Radio. Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon and Bank of England Governor Mark Carney are among those who will speak on climate change. Jamie Dimon and Bob Iger, the heads of JP Morgan and Disney, sit down for a conversation with Bloomberg TV and radio. Plus, we examine the risks to big tech in interviews with Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi and Google CFO Ruth Porat. Tune in for live coverage throughout the day on Bloomberg Radio and Television. In New York, I'm Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures are lower this morning, down about 6 points. Dow futures down 32, NASDAQ futures down 25. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.64%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.60%. The euro is at 1.10 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more of what's going on around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The tide turned in the House with Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing she's opening an impeachment inquiry on President Trump. Lawmakers and presidential candidates are reacting to the news. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says Democrats have a vendetta against President Trump.
They have been investigating this president before he even got elected.
Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar.
Many of us have been talking about how this president thinks he's above the law and how we needed to hold him accountable. And I'm very excited that she's finally on board and that we can start this process with leadership in tow.
Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell did not block a unanimously supported Senate resolution to call on the White House to release the secret whistleblower report to Congress. McConnell said the Senate Intelligence Committee had already begun a bipartisan effort to obtain the Inspector General's report.
I would have preferred the committee be allowed to do its work in a quiet, methodical manner. It doesn't serve the committee or its goals to litigate its business here on the floor or for the television cameras.
President Trump said he'd release the transcript of the July phone call with the Ukrainian president today. Chad Myers, chairman of Signum Global Advisors, spoke to Bloomberg.
Thursday is the deadline that she and Congress have given for the release of the whistleblower's complaint and all the information around it to Congress. That's a much bigger deal than the transcript of the call between the two presidents. I think that's where perhaps the more incriminating or concerning information will be found.
The White House says the president will release what he says is the complete, fully declassified and unredacted transcript. Meanwhile, Ukraine's new president will speak before the UN General Assembly today. And with tensions high in the Persian Gulf, all eyes will also be on Iranian President Hassan Rouhani as he speaks today at the UN. California utilities are warning that they may shut off electricity to thousands of customers across the state as hot, dry, and windy weather raises the risk of another catastrophic wildfire sparked by a power line. PG&E, forced into bankruptcy in January after its equipment was blamed for 2 years of deadly fires, cut power to about 24,000 customers in the Sierra Nevada foothills Monday and planned to shut off another 48,000 customers in a second round today. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, Mets and Yankees both went extra innings, mixed results. Mets trailed the Marlins 4-0. Noah Syndergaard was hit hard, gave up 10 hits, but Michael Conforto with a pair of two-run homers, including one in the bottom of the ninth, and the Mets then beat Miami 5-4 in 11. They are mathematically still alive for a playoff berth, not realistically. One more Milwaukee win or Met loss will end that. So it should be the Brewers, who've now won 16 of the last 18 against Washington, for that NL wildcard. Nationals swept a doubleheader from the Phillies and clinched a spot. As for the Yankees, a third-inning home run by Cameron Maben, which gave the Yanks a major league record, 14 different players with at least 10 homers. That's all they got. The Yanks and Rays were 1-1 in the 12th.
Guerin gets the sign. Now the kick and the pitch. Swing and a drive to right field. Back at a Judge to the wall. Rays win! Rays win! Rays win! G-Montoy wants it off here in the 12th. Rays beat the Yankees 2-1.
Rays radio had it. The blast came up. Corey Guerin, who was the Yankees' 11th pitcher of the night, and the Yankee injuries never seemed to end. Gio Urshela hit in the hand by a pitch, had to leave the game. His status for the postseason not known. Looks like the Yanks are going to face Minnesota in the ALDS starting next Friday at the stadium. They've won 10 straight postseason games from the Twins. The AL wildcard, three teams vying for two spots. The three are now separated by only one game. As Oakland lost last night, Cleveland won. The A's are a half game ahead of Tampa Bay, one up on the Indians. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
And John, this red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Credit Suisse plans to finish its probe into corporate spying of former wealth management head Iqbal Khan this week. The findings will determine the fate of CEO Tidjane Thiam and other senior executives at Credit Suisse. This is Bloomberg. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
President Trump is ready for a fight and will release a transcript of his call with Ukraine's leader. He'll hold a press conference at 4 p.m. Wall Street time after calling impeachment proceedings witch hunt garbage. China wants to buy more U.S. pork as it battles domestic shortages, but some analysts warn the move should be seen as an act of necessity, not a sign of goodwill. In the trade spat with the EU, the U.S. may deploy a weapon designed to wreak most damage. Sources say that instead of choosing a static list of goods for tariffs, it may rotate them to sow uncertainty and hit as many industries as possible. And Nike's earnings beat estimates thanks to sales to women and a 22% jump in revenue from China. Nike stock rose to an all-time high in extended trading. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures down 6.5 points. Dow futures are down 41. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.64%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.60%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 80 cents at $56.49 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.20 at $15.37 an ounce. The euro 1.0996 against the dollar. The yen at 107.30 and the British pound 1.2431. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, more on the impeachment. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has yielded to mounting pressure from fellow Democrats and has launched a formal impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump. Trump is said to have ordered advisors to freeze $400 million in military aid for Ukraine days before a phone call with Ukraine's president in which Trump asked for help investigating former Vice President Biden and his son. Four suspected drug smugglers have been arrested after the U.S. Coast Guard intercepted a drug-smuggling submarine. The sub was intercepted in the Eastern Pacific Ocean with 12,000 pounds of cocaine on board. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, and still stay alive with their slim playoff hopes. The Nationals swept a doubleheader against the Phillies and clinched a wild card spot in the playoffs. The Orioles and Red Sox won. The Giants and A's lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli is back with us now from Capitol Hill, where a formal impeachment inquiry is now underway against President Trump following yesterday's announcement from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Kevin, good morning. A lot is about to happen where you sit this morning.
Yeah, busy day. So we're going to get the transcript of the call between President Trump and Ukraine President Zelensky sometime today at 4 p.m. Eastern time at the White House. President Trump has said he's going to give a press conference. The whistleblower, whoever this whistleblower is, has been invited to meet with Congress on Friday. And tomorrow we should note that there could be even more developments as it relates with the Director of National Intelligence, who's set to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. And I want to correct myself. This press conference with President Trump is 4 p.m. New York time.
That's right. 4 p.m. Wall Street time. And of course, we will be carrying that live on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, with so many investigations that have been underway against President Trump, now that they are under the umbrella of a formal impeachment inquiry, how does that change things for these pursuits?
It changes things in the sense that for the past several months, there's been six committees that have been looking into a host of different investigations as it relates to the president. But beyond that, yesterday, Speaker Nancy Pelosi formally getting behind an impeachment inquiry. And that's really the nuance here, is that now she is saying that impeachment is something that is completely on the table.
And in terms of what could happen next, there's still a question of whether an impeachment inquiry could actually lead to formal articles of impeachment. We're not quite there yet, right?
No, we're not quite there yet. And I would also just note that there doesn't appear to be any support as of now in the Republican Party for there to be any Republicans to join on board with the Democrats in the House. And we also, so that's in the House. And then incredibly unlikely as of now that there would be the 2/3 needed in the Republican-controlled Senate to convict him.
What are the expectations?
That's getting way ahead of ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But in the meantime, we need to find out many more details of, what could be in the transcript from this call between the presidents of the United States and Ukraine, as well as more full details of the whistleblower's complaint. What are the expectations about what could be in either of these documents?
Well, the central question, and I know that you're pressed for time, so I know that this will have to be, unfortunately, our last question, but is that whether or not President Trump was trying to get information on Hunter Biden through the Ukrainian president, and whether or not he withheld military aid. That's the smoking gun here. But what we don't know is all of those other details. But I would anticipate that in a few short hours, we'll have much more answers once that transcript gets released.
And we will, as I said, be carrying President Trump's news conference from the United Nations General Assembly as his time there before the world body comes to a close. That is scheduled for 4 p.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage of that as well here on Bloomberg Radio. And looking forward to Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli's coverage of what could be coming today in terms of the transcript of the president's call with Ukraine's leader, as well as what could come next with the whistleblower complaint. Now let's get a check of what's happening in the markets. Karen, well, what are you looking at this morning?
All right, Nathan, thank you. Well, we're watching shares of Nike for one. They're up almost 6% in early trading, and that's right around an all-time high. This is after It reported quarterly sales and earnings that beat analyst estimates. Shares of Nike up 18% this year, right through yesterday's close, and we'll be watching those shares today. Credit Suisse Group plans to finish its probe into a corporate spying case this week, with the findings set to determine the fate of Chief Executive Tidjane Thiam and other senior executives. Sources tell us Saudi Aramco is planning to formally announce the kickoff of its initial public offering next month. The oil giant aims to announce its intention to float around October 20th. The potential listing on the Saudi Stock Exchange could take place as early as November, though the timetable has not been finalized. And again, futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down about 6 points. Dow futures down 41. NASDAQ futures down 27. And the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.64%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:25 on Wall Street for breaking news. Wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter bring you TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. Political risks are mounting for the White House as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi endorses an impeachment inquiry into President Trump. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Pelosi says the continued acts of the Trump administration obstructing the efforts of Congress to do its job under the Constitution.
The actions taken to date by the president have seriously violated the Constitution.
Meanwhile, the president says he'll release the transcript of the conversation with Ukraine's president today.
There was no quid pro quo, unlike Biden. There was no nothing. It was a perfect call, a very nice call.
So the inquiry will look into the alleged White House continued efforts to obstruct Congress, culminating with this latest whistleblower report. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. The S&P 500 suffered its biggest decline in a month after word of the impeachment inquiry. It's adding to those losses this morning. S&P futures right now are down 6 points.
Oil extending losses after industry data indicate a gain in U.S. inventories. Also, Bloomberg News has learned Saudi Aramco is ahead of schedule in restoring oil output after this month's attack. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5%. Down 82 cents at $56.46 a barrel. Brent is down 1.6% at $62.06.
And speaking of Aramco, it plans to formally announce the kickoff of its IPO next month. That's according to sources who say Aramco will lay out its intention around October 20th.
On the trade front, we have another incremental sign of easing tensions between the U.S. and China. Sources say Chinese companies are preparing to purchase more American pork ahead of trade talks next month.
On the corporate front, Adam Neumann has resigned as CEO of WeWork. He'll be replaced by current executives Artie Minson and Sebastian Gunningham. We get more from Bloomberg's Leanna Baker.
The question is, what's next for the IPO? There's co-CEOs named, but the company did not announce they're bringing in an outside CEO. Will they do that? That'll be the question. Are they going to be viewed by some of the investors as too close to Neumann and the previous establishment that was running this company and got it to this point? And does the company need fresh blood going forward?
After stepping down as CEO, Neumann will take on a new role as non-executive chairman and forfeit his control over management decisions.
And shares of Nike trading at an all-time high this morning. They're up about 6% in early trading after quarterly sales and earnings topped analyst estimates. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 6 points. Dow futures down 42. NASDAQ futures down 28. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32nds, yield 1.63%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are reacting to Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the House is moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry against President Trump. Texas Republican Lance Gooden says the impeachment inquiry will hurt Democrats, saying President Trump will be reelected. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says Democrats have a vendetta against President Trump.
What she said today made no difference of what's been going on.
It's no different than what Nadler's been trying to do. It's time to put the public before politics.
Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg says the announcement was inevitable.
We knew that at some point we would hit a breaking point, and we are there. This is a moment of truth for the country. I think this is a moment of truth for the Republican Party. Sooner or later, it had to come, because any one of these abuses that we've seen over recent years, any one of them could have been career-ending for any other president. The issue is they all came at once, and it shocked the system. The system couldn't figure out how to deal with it. Now the system is kicking in. The Constitution is kicking in, and there's going to be a process that leads to some kind of accountability on this.
Every Senate Republican, along with every Democrat, believes the whistleblower complaint, as filed with the Inspector General, should be turned over to Congress. The non-binding resolution calls on the Trump administration to release the secret complaint to the Senate and House Intelligence Committees. It was passed unanimously on the floor, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell declined to block it.
Colleagues, all of us share a concern for protecting whistleblowers who use appropriate, established channels to raise legitimate concerns. The Senate's obligation is to treat such allegations in a responsible and deliberate manner.
President Trump said he'd release the transcript of a July phone call with the Ukrainian president today. President Trump will hold a news conference today at 4 p.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg will carry it live. With tensions high in the Persian Gulf, all eyes will be on Iranian President Hassan Rouhani as he speaks today at the U.N. General Assembly. The U.S. Justice Department entered a fight between Donald Trump and Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance, suggesting it may defend the president's efforts to block a subpoena to his accountant for tax records and other private documents. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Just before 6:36 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, extra innings all over baseball last night. Not only the Mets and the Yankees, but Colorado and the Giants played 16 innings, and St. Louis and Arizona played 19 innings. That game took nearly 7 hours, ended at 1:30 in the morning. Mets and Marlins went 11 innings at Citi Field. The Mets won 5-4. They had trailed 4-0. Michael Conforto brought him back with a pair of two-run homers, including one in the bottom of the ninth. Washington swept the doubleheader from the Phillies. Red-hot Milwaukee won again. The Nationals have clinched a wild card. The Brewers' magic number is one. Technically, Mickey Callaway's Mets are mathematically alive.
As long as there's a chance, you know, we're going to keep on going. You know, we've seen in a five-game stretch, anything is possible, and that's where we're at.
One more Milwaukee win, and the Mets are out, and so will be the Cubs, who really went in the tank down the stretch. They just lost their seventh in a row. Yankees want to win this week. Tampa Bay needs to win to make the playoffs, and the Rays won in St. Pete 2-1, a walk-off home run, 12th inning by one-time Yank G-Man Choi off Corey Guerin, who was the Yanks' 11th pitcher of the night, and another Yankee injury. Gio Urshela hit in the hand with a pitch, had to leave. Yanks hopeful he can play the postseason, which will start for them week from Friday at the stadium, likely against Minnesota. What a race for the AL wildcard. Tampa Bay, Oakland, and Cleveland, three teams vying for two spots and now separated by just one game after the A's lost last night and the Indians won. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
As UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson sat at the United Nations in New York, his political strategy was collapsing at home. On Tuesday, Britain's Supreme Court shot down Johnson's decision to suspend Parliament. It was an unequivocal rebuke. All 11 justices agreed he'd acted only to keep lawmakers from thwarting his Brexit plans. Johnson should yield to reality. As an unelected prime minister with no mandate, he has lost his majority, failed to make progress on Brexit, and now had his most substantive decision in office ruled unlawful. Continuing on like this will help no one. The most democratic way to move forward is to let voters have a say in a second referendum, one that offers a choice between a specific exit deal and remaining in the EU. Such a vote would heal no wounds, but it would offer clarity and legitimacy, two things notably lacking from Johnson's approach. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go. on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Just before 6:39 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce may be ready to change its position on climate change. A decade ago, its reluctance to get behind the fight against global warming caused some members to walk away from the nation's largest business trade association. Now the Chamber has announced formation of a task force on climate change meant to examine how the phenomenon is affecting business decisions and how they're approaching climate policy. The open-ended initiative, modeled after a similar effort on data privacy, could spur a shift in the Chamber's approach to environmental policy. And as the nation's biggest business lobbying group with a nearly $200 million annual budget, its approach to the issue carries weight in Washington. Amid mounting pressure from the public, politicians, and its own members, the chamber says it hopes the new group might help get to the bottom of a solution that ultimately works for the entirety of the business community. Earlier this year, the organization revised its formal policy on climate change to stress inaction is not an option. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right. Thank you, Bob. And another story we're watching today, Bloomberg News has learned Juul Labs, the embattled maker of flavored e-cigarettes, is planning to restructure its workforce, scaling back on new hires and eliminating some jobs. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The e-cigarette maker has been facing increasing scrutiny by state and federal officials following reports of a mysterious illness related to vaping and a proposed ban on flavored e-cigarettes by the Trump administration earlier this month. The San Francisco-based startup had rapidly been adding thousands of employees as part of a global expansion plan. The company currently employs about 3,900 people, more than double the staff count in December. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures are lower by 6.5 points at the moment. Dow futures down 74. NASDAQ futures lower by 28 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro e-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. And futures this morning are lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures in the red right now with Dow futures down 49 points, S&P's dropped 7, and NASDAQ futures declined by 30. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.65%. Gold and oil are both trading lower, and Shanghai fell 1% overnight, while European markets are also under pressure, led by losses in France and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, new home sales, and at 10:30, energy inventory numbers. After the bell last night, Nike beat estimates. Shares are up 6% in the pre-market, and Broadcom offered up to $3 billion in mandatory convertible preferred stock. In other news in the energy space, Saudi Arabia is said to be ahead of schedule in restoring output, and Bitcoin is down again today after yesterday's 12% plunge. Wrapping things up, RBC downgraded Diamond Offshore, Neighbors, and Transocean this morning. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced an impeachment inquiry against President Trump. Allegations surfaced last week that Trump improperly pressured the government of Ukraine. Meanwhile, President Trump has authorized the release of transcripts of his phone call with the president of Ukraine. The president says it will rebuke claims that he leaned on Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Biden. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the whistleblower who reported the call now wants to speak to Congress. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won and still stay alive with their slim playoff hopes. The Nationals swept a doubleheader against the Phillies and clinched a wild card spot in the playoffs. The Orioles and Red Sox won. The Giants and A's lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, a family tried to skirt China's property rules with 23 divorces and weddings in a month.
Wow.
Mr. Pan remarried his ex-wife, allowing her to qualify for a compensation plan when his home was demolished. Lishui City officials say 2 weeks later, he divorced her and married his sister-in-law, adding her to the plan.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Nathan, this went on at the corner of Flim and Flam until authorities found the house was suddenly home to 13 people.
I don't know where to go with this. All I can think of is 23 divorces and weddings. Wasn't that a Hugh Grant movie?
Yeah. I got a joke in there, but I can't say it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at
so
TikTok,
weird.
On Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street, and it's time to check what's going on in D.C. The top story, formal impeachment inquiry now underway against President Donald Trump.
The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Pursuing the leader of another nation to investigate a political opponent to help win his election is not the conduct of an American president.
Look, it's just a continuation of the witch hunt. It's the worst witch hunt in political history.
Let's get more now. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us. This, it is safe to say, is the culmination of something that Democrats seem to have been pursuing for many months now, Kate.
Yeah, and in some ways, I guess maybe I'd frame it as, you know, something Democrats have been dancing around for many months. You know, they, especially elements of the Democratic leadership in the House, specifically Nancy Pelosi, has been really reluctant to go down this path. And I think these revelations over the last week or so, as it comes to Trump's conversation on July 25th with the Ukrainian president, has really pushed a lot of members who were maybe on the fence, off the fence, onto the side of wanting to pursue impeachment, which really left Pelosi with no choice but to go down that road. And so I think that now here's what we're going to see Democrats pursuing, but not without them being mindful of the risks involved.
Is it surprising that this whistleblower complaint in particular, this conversation between President Trump and the president of Ukraine, is what put many Democrats over the line when you think about all the other lines of inquiry that Democrats have been pursuing, from releasing tax returns to possible violations of the emoluments clause to the Russia investigation?
I think, yeah, in some ways it is interesting that this was maybe the straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. But I think that in many ways, it kind of makes sense, because I think that the storyline and the narrative is much simpler when it comes to what's being alleged here. That I think it makes for it makes it easier for Democrats to imagine going down this path when it comes to this type of an accusation, because I think that it's a very clear A to B to C kind of linear line of events. Whereas a lot of the stuff surrounding the Russia investigation was very convoluted, and I think a lot harder to explain to voters.
But as you mentioned, this does come with risk for both sides, given how the president has tried to turn the accusations against him over on Joe Biden and saying he's the one who's guilty of corruption when it comes to Ukraine.
Absolutely. And I think the risks here for Democrats are very, very real. I think primarily they're twofold. I think one is that the waters become just so muddied by what we've seen from Trump already, trying to pin the blame on Joe Biden for doing something, essentially what he's accused of doing, which is using aid as leverage to try to get an investigation, either to promote an investigation or to stop an investigation. I think that for a lot of voters who maybe aren't paying such close attention to this, that could end up just kind of coming out as a wash and being something that they don't end up voting on one way or another. And I think the other danger for Democrats is more broadly for House Democrats. And I think it's important to remember that it's not just the presidency that's on the ballot in November of 2020. Every member of the House and, you know, a third of the Senate is going to be up for reelection as well. And so I think that, you know, lawmakers are first and foremost going to be looking at their own reelection prospects. And there's a concern looking back to what happened to Republicans in 1998 when they pursued in 1998 and 2000 when they pursued impeachment against Bill Clinton. they suffered some electoral losses. And there's a concern, I think, on the part of Democrats, particularly those from swing districts or districts that Trump may have won in 2016, that there could be a blowback from the public if they pursue this too hard.
Yeah, it is interesting to bring that up, given the fact that a lot of the reason many Democrats think that they regained control of the House was with a focus on sort of bread and butter issues that matter to many voters in particularly swing suburban districts.
Absolutely. And I think there's a very real danger for Democrats that they neglect those issues if they get too drawn into an impeachment probe. And I think that's something they're going to have to watch closely. In some ways, I think maybe that's part of why this Ukraine thing kind of kicked off an impeachment, a formal impeachment inquiry at this stage, because we're still 14 months out from the election. So if it looked perhaps the calculus, I don't know, but perhaps the calculus partially on the part of Nancy Pelosi was, you know, it's better to go down this path 14 months out, kind of get it out of the way, and then go back in the months leading up to the election to, you know, pocketbook issues, bread and butter issues in terms of helping the middle class, both in the presidential race and also in congressional races. That may have been part of the calculus.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, we'll have to leave it there for now, but of course we're going to have much more coverage of this now formal impeachment inquiry, including a news conference from President Donald Trump from the United Nations General Assembly that's set for 4 p.m. Wall Street time. We will bring that to you live here on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up moments from now, the Bloomberg Global Business Forum convenes in New York City. It brings leaders together on issues including global warming and economic prosperity. And Bloomberg Radio will be broadcasting live from the event all day. As I say, it begins minutes from now on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. Tom and John getting ready at the event right now. And they are here with us now with a preview. Good morning, guys. What's
Nathan,
coming up?
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
A lot coming up. A lot of good conversations. I'm looking forward, John Farrell, to Roger Ferguson, the former vice chairman of the Fed. He is America's leading retirement authority. I will grill him on the complete failure of the American retirement
I'm plan. Very interested in the guest. I think you're pretending because I know you've been around the Great Plaza here in New York City.
Tea every Sunday.
Have you had an alcoholic beverage yet?
No, I have not.
Is it still too early?
Famous Plaza Bloody Mary.
I know that's what you're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to hearing from a whole host of individuals, including J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, alongside Bob Iger of the Walt Disney Company. And that's what's fascinating about this forum. We put together two leading CEOs from two different sectors, sit them down together, and I believe Francine's going to moderate. And that's just one of the highlights of what I'm looking forward to this morning.
Well, the highlights and also the politics of it. A number of people have actually had to cancel in the uproar that we've had. Of course, Boris Johnson landing in London and heading to Parliament. And, of course, the festivities we saw, the history made yesterday in Washington. But we do have the leadership of India here speaking with Mr. Bloomberg.
Looking forward to all of that. And then, of course, Nathan, we've got to get on top of the news right in front of us. The events down in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
And Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Back in front of Parliament.
The events in Washington, the Nationals won.
The Nationals won.
The Nationals won.
They
Nathan's
did.
On top
was
of
that,
this.
They was clinched that, it the in a doubleheader.
Was that really the headline overnight
headline
in Washington?
In Washington overnight. The Washington.
Nathan,
they did it without the guy that went to Philadelphia.
We're looking forward to the day ahead, Nathan. I've got to supervise Tom Keene.
Yeah, absolutely.
My three-year-old toddler for the couple of hours.
Save me a screwdriver. Thank you both. Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, very much looking forward to Bloomberg Surveillance live from the Bloomberg Global Business Forum coming up now in just mere minutes here on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, we are looking at a down market ahead of the open. S&P futures are lower by 5.5 points right now. Dow futures down 35 points. NASDAQ futures off by almost 25 points. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.